It's almost exactly 5 years ago that Sheila and I moved away from our home of 14 years in Wales to North Bedfordshire to be nearer our children and our grandchildren. It was a big change at our time in life. But at least, of course, we were moving to a part of the country we knew, because we'd lived in Rushden for 10 years back in the 1980s. I suppose most of us have left home at some time in our lives, left the familiar surroundings of people and places, sounds and smells, drink, football, if you're like me, shops and places of entertainment. Many of us will have moved to a new area, maybe more than once. Some of us will see this as part of God's call, God's plan for our lives. And as we read here the beginning of the history of the people of Israel, God called Abram to move from Ur, probably lying in the south of modern Iraq, at the head of the Persian Gulf, a place that was culturally rich, a place that was comfortable. So, of course, there would have to be some pretty good reasons to leave. Well, God called him. At least in Haran, where they got to first, it would have been similar to Ur, because it was on the trade route from Haran to Ur. It was used by many merchants and traders, and so life would have been very similar. It would have been familiar. It would have been comfortable in Haran. But Abraham is called to move on to somewhere he doesn't know, to Canaan, and then on to the border with Egypt. Well, what does this call look like? How does Abraham feel? I mean, what does he think? I mean, the family have travelled over 600 miles from home. How much further is he going to be called to travel? By the time he reaches the Negev, he will have travelled a further 500 miles. And Abraham is called not only to leave his home, but to leave his family behind, to leave the clan and all the familiar things of life that go with it. Go where? Where I show you, says God. Well, what thoughts are running through your mind? And by the way, you're 75 years old. Well, we start with God's assurance. Abraham and his father have been city dwellers for whom the long move northwards from Ur to Haran marked a strenuous uprooting. It was for them a once and for all journey to a new environment. But that new environment was going to be Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Moving on is often difficult. We've gone far enough. We're comfortable here. They have got the same religious ideas as us here. No, this is comfortable. And we can often feel that too. We can feel we've moved far enough, both in our physical and spiritual journeys. No more theological challenges, thank you very much. I want to remain comfortable with the picture of God that I've always lived with and my understanding of the Bible. Please don't change the hymn book. That's the cry of many churches. Of course, these days they don't have hymn books. It's all up on the screen and it comes from a whole variety of places. Don't change what I'm comfortable with. Don't change the version of the Bible. Don't change the seating. Don't rip the pews out and replace them with chairs. And don't change the church's program. Let's make sure that we always worship at the same time, in the same place. The reluctance of Terah, Abraham's father, to move on from Haran, highlights Abraham's obedience. Not only was he prepared to take to the road once again when the remainder of the family had settled down, but also he was going into the unknown without a map, certainly without a sat-nav. And as it turned out, he was never going to enjoy a settled home life again. From now on, his life would be that of a nomad. It was an uncompromising call to go by himself, to leave clan, to leave homeland, to leave his parents' house. And the call for us can be equally uncompromising as we look to our future in work, in our family relationships, or in church. What will we do? What sort of ministry will the church have next? And where will we find ourselves? What will we be asked to accept? 8 churches, 1 rector, 1 vicar, 1 curate. What will happen next? God knows the thoughts and the feelings that must have been cascading through Abraham's mind, and he speaks directly to Abraham with a threefold promise. I will make of you a great nation. You will be blessed by descendants in the land. I will make you a great person. You will be a blessing to others. And you will have great power. You will be a channel of blessing and cursing. It's a promise of good things ahead, but maybe beyond Abraham's own lifetime. In human terms, it might be described as success and good fortune, but for Abraham, God was the source of that good fortune and of that success. But it's only a promise. There is no assurance for Abraham. He was to make a decisive break with the past. He was to leave the dominant cult of the moon worship. He was to leave all that behind. And he was following a call that would bring about a new people of God. There's God's assurance, but still we need to look at Abraham's faith. Would he set out on this life-changing journey with only a promise? How did you receive this promise, Abraham? You can hear Sarai asking, can't you? So what was it, Abraham? A feeling? Was it an audible word? Was it writing in the clouds? Was he sure? Was he sane? I mean, was he going senile? I mean, he was 75 after all. Abraham fulfills the call to go, just as the Lord had told him. Maybe we as a church fellowship are being called to leave the familiar behind, to consider something new in the church life, in its mission and ministry. Not the way things have always been. Perhaps never to be truly comfortable again. Abraham trusted. He has faith. And he is obedient. But Abraham's knowledge of God is limited to a call and a promise. The place where God will reveal himself in a fuller way is not in Haran, but is in the unknown country of Canaan, 500 miles from Haran, 1,100 miles from home. A further revelation comes through the further separation, just as the disciples experienced when they left their nets and their business and their family and followed Jesus. And for me, that fuller revelation, that fuller understanding of God has come through my life, through working as a geologist, training for ministry in Oxford, being a Baptist pastor, going back to teach in Oxford and then to Cardiff, and now a new place, a new church, and new possibilities. For Sheila and I, it has been both challenging, full of anxiety at times, exciting and fulfilling. But in confident faith, we have committed ourselves to our future. So we have the assurance and we have faith, but it is nevertheless a risky journey. This trek was not without risks. The Canaanites were in the land. Abraham and his clan, which may have numbered hundreds rather than tens, we're told in Genesis 14 that they had 318 trained men, but still they were aliens in a foreign land. Were the natives friendly? Abraham was a long way from home. They were on their own, and they were certainly outnumbered. We often feel like this, though, don't we? An outnumbered minority in the Christian church, in a world full of many different beliefs. Like Canaan, a place of many gods. And in many of these Eastern cultures, the gods were perceived to own the particular parts of the land where they were worshipped. And so in Canaan, it was to the various pagan gods that the land belonged. So Abraham arrives in Shechem, an extensive village, probably been there for 1,000 years before Abraham arrived. It would have been a place of the worship of various gods. And here God makes another promise to Abraham. To you and your offspring, I will give this land. In the face of the territorial Canaanite pagan deities, God says, this land is mine. It is mine to give. He reigned even where he was not acknowledged. And it's important for us to recognize this. To recognize that God is not confined to the safety of the church or to our Christian friendships and networks. We will find God wherever we are and wherever he calls us to go. And of course, we mustn't miss the incredible words in this promise. To your offspring. Hang on a minute, says Abraham. I'm 75, I'm past the possibility of fathering a child, and Sarai is barren. But God is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine. Abraham travels from the north through to the center and then to the south of Canaan. He set up two altars to worship Yahweh, his God, one in Shechem in the north and one at Bethel. In the center, he is claiming the ground for God. He is claiming the ground, correctly declaring the truth that the land belongs to the God of Israel. Abraham pitched his tent. He staked out his own land claim, and he called upon God, witnessing to his faith that he was the God of the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham at Shechem, and Abraham worshipped God at Bethel. And yet Abraham doesn't stop. He continues southward, and we leave Abraham on the edge of the Negev, on the edge of the desert, at the very southern border of the land, as God leads him into an unknown future. An unknown future where Abraham will fail, and where he'll make mistakes. And we too will fail and make mistakes. But God will accompany us. He will go with us. And he will be ahead of us. Abraham not only sees what has been promised to him, he walks through it. He lives in it. He worships in it. And symbolically, he's taken possession of the land of God's promise. And as we leave him on the southern border, he prepares for the next episode of the journey. It's still going to be a walk of faith. And the call of God to each of us is intensely personal. It will always be for us a walk of faith. None of us follows exactly the same path. But the outcome of obedience is far-reaching. In the case of Abraham, it was pivotal in the history of the people of God, Old and New Covenant. And the same God is seeking to work his purposes out in you and me. The author of the letter to the Hebrews is able to point to Abraham as a model of faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And then adds those most amazing and challenging words at the end. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So we're challenged by Abraham's willingness to leave his homeland for good as an example for us who should look for the city whose builder and maker is God. We too are called to follow, but with greater assurance and greater certainty revealed to us in the love, purpose, and value of God in the cross of Christ. And so with confidence, we can step out on this journey, the next step of which starts now. One more step along the world I go. One more step along the world I go. And it's from the old I travel to the new. Keep me traveling along with you. And it's from the old I travel to the new. Keep me traveling along with you.